We shall continue in the vein of that which we have been discoursing to you, amen, the glorious body of Christ, the church. And as always, as we deal with this discourse, I'm inviting you, your attention to Galatians chapter 3, amen, and verses beginning in the verses that we have using for our base. Verses 26 to 29.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in conjunction with that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 16 and 17, and I think that's about all we're going to be able to move through this morning. Now, as we look at this, we see how the Lord has just laid all things out.
Surely.
We see how blessed we are as a people.
Yeah.
God has done many things, many complex things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that he has done, because of his wisdom,
mm-hmm. Yes.
many things that we do not know about and won't know about until we get to glory. Amen. But he has been so gracious and kind to reveal to us so much. Oh, when we say God is good, the information we have is sufficient for us to really have an appreciation for his goodness.
Amen.
Here we speak of the invisible things.
Yes.
The unseen things. The things that the eye cannot see. And the ears, that is the natural, ears and eyes cannot comprehend. But God is so gracious that the ones that he has blessed, he has also given us an entrance into his workings of those blessings. Now, we are creatures of time. We were created in time. Yet God has so graciously given us the information of his workings in eternity. Before time.
Amen.
Oh my God. In the third chapter of Galatians, and you can gather in as our designated reader this morning.
Thanks.
I want you to read, as we always do, as we are dealing with this this course, this dissertation, verses 26 to 29. Everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
All right. But they can read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There is neither male nor female.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all one in Christ.
Oh, every time I read that and look at that expression in the Greek, in Christo Iesu,
yes,
in Christ Jesus, I'm just elated.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just beside myself.
In
Christ Jesus, in the sphere of Christ Jesus. In the first chapter of, don't turn there, in the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 3, Paul says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and then he gives the locale of the spiritual blessings.
Right.
Say in the heavenlies.
Mm-hmm.
And then so there would be no mistake as to where the locale of that is, say it is in Christ.
In Christ.
In Christ, in the essence of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's our heaven.
Yes.
We're in Christ.
Glory.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
A glorious entity. The body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
My Lord, the body. Oh, the body of Christ in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
oh my God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that we cannot comprehend now because we're in bodies that are finite. And there's only so much that we can intelligently comprehend or take in.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much that we can discern.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
But when I look into the writings of the first chapter of Ephesians, it conveys and it depicts God moving and working in an eternal sphere with nobody else around.
That's right.
Oh my God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And his first order of business is the church.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
His body. Created.
Yeah.
Amen. In the spiritual sphere.
Mm-hmm.
Before he ever made anything.
Anything. Thank you, Jesus.
Before he ever brought anything into being.
Mm-hmm.
Manifestation. In eternity, everything was spiritual. I know it's hard for us to see because we're being fleshly, we are physical.
Yeah.
And we're moved by the physical. We are impressed by the physical.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It is the physical and the natural that gets our attention.
Amen.
And holds our, and I understand that. I understand what the ministries and depending upon what their agenda and goal is. If it's to pack the house, of course. Amen. All you have to do is distract the nerve of what interests folk and what people, amen, like to hear. And all of these things.
Right.
And so we will devise 125 ministries and bring everybody in. And if you reach out to and you have enough various activities and issues, and you're bound to appeal to enough folk to get the place packed out. Bro, these are not the directions that have been sent down to the church. Through the volume of truth, the mystery.
Yes.
fifth chapter of Ephesians, Pastor Paul speaks of those gifts, of gifted ones that God has given to the church.
Yes.
And he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, some messengers, some preachers, as it would be in this dispensation, because this dispensation is not based upon prophecy. It's based upon the volume of truth, the mystery.
Yes.
So the prophet is not coming with prophecy. He's coming and he should be preaching mystery.
He should.
And he gave evangelists for the same reason. And then pastors and teachers, which run concomitantly.
Yes.
And what has he done it for? For the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
We're all together until we get to that point. Until we begin to define what the ministry is. But the ministry, rather. What is the ministry? Amen. For some say it's dealing with all of the social ills of the world. Some say, well, don't forget the politics.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We throw a little bit of psychology in. Amen. Some say it's to convey those things that Jesus preached when he was on the earth. And seek to heal the bodies and feed the hungry. And after all, that's what Jesus did when he was on earth. And even though, even in the kingdom gospel, the Lord said, that's not what I came for. And so we have a problem when it comes to the ministry. We begin to define what the role of the ministry is. But you know, it doesn't matter what your opinion is and my opinion. Opinions don't matter. God has not left us without directions.
Right.
For in that same passage, it doesn't stop and say, amen, the ministry, amen, but it speaks as to what it is.
Glory.
For the work of the ministry, the perfecting or the equipping of the saints. What are we equipped for? The ministry. What is the ministry? It is the edifying of the body. What body are you talking about? You're talking about an organization? No! We're talking about the spiritual entity. Amen. The first order of God's business that goes way back into eternity. Oh my God! Before there was anything, he conveyed the magnificence of his power, and of his wisdom, and of his might, amen, as he expressed his love, and his goodness, and his joy, and it speaks in the third chapter, around the 10th verse, that ultimately he will show what that culminated in, the very first order of his business, the manifold wisdom that he expresses through the church, the glorious body, the glorious body of Christ.
Glory.
Of which we are part. Oh my God. Hallelujah. For the sake of time, because that clock is going to work on me. Let's move to the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. Oh my God.
Thank you.
Woo.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 16 and 17.
2 Corinthians 5:16.
Hold it. Let's to make sure everybody get it first. We're not that much of a hurry. Amen. Hallelujah. And also, on the document that I passed out to you, and hopefully there are some in the back if anyone doesn't have one, the that is section one that I passed out to you. There are three sections in all. First section, the glorious body of Christ, and we hope to have this up on our website for those that may be listening on the audio portion of the website. We hope to have that up within the week so that as you listen to the messages, you can go along with it. But those that are here, if you have the document, if not, there are some in the back. If you raise your hand, I'm sure the ushers will bring you one. But we are going, we want you to turn to page 9. As we move to that portion of our discourse. All right. Does everyone have it? Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, Dick can read.
2 Corinthians 5:16.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the
flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh.
Yet now henceforth know we him no more.
Going forward, we don't know him anymore as the lowly Nazarene who walked the shores and fed the 5,000.
Mm-hmm.
And fed the 3,000. Who healed the sick. And even who raised the dead.
Yes.
That's not where our focus is. That's what this is saying. Mm-hmm. We don't know him that way anymore. Mm-hmm. And you notice Paul didn't dwell there. You don't see that in his writings. Mm-hmm. Now, is it important? Absolutely. It wouldn't be in the scriptures if it wasn't important. Mm-hmm. But is that the primary focus of the ministry and the message that is given to the elect for this dispensation who are placed in the body of Christ? No. Keep reading.
Verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore,
mm-hmm.
if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation.
He is a new creation.
Oh.
He did not misread that. Amen. We shall see in a moment as we look at that word. It is better rendered creation.
Mm-hmm.
And that being the case,
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
And we'll let the Greek tell us about that last statement. From the Greek text, are you with me this morning? Therefore, if anyone in Christ, and I'm reading literally, if anyone in Christ, a new creation, they all passed away, and behold, the new has and is come.
All right.
Here, as we've said on our last outing, as we discoursed from this dissertation, we note the coordinating conjunction oste, rendered therefore, thus, as a consequence, and as a result of, or whatever the result has previously been said. Here Paul is true to his policy of never vouching for against anyone's salvation status. And this is why he uses the subordinating conjunction e, rendered if. So he said if. If is distinguishing those who are in Christ. So he said, those who are in Christ are in Christ. In Christ. Again, in Christ. The Greek phrase "in Christo," the locative case. It means those who are in the sphere of. Here it refers to opposition in the body. Used, as we said before, numerous times in Paul's epistles to note the place of occupation, the position of believers in Christ. Again, Romans 3:24, Romans 8:8-9, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, 3, 5, 12, 20. Lots of documentation. He also used it once regarding the Jews who, prior to the establishment of the body of Christ, that is the manifestation of this establishment, he references them as being in Christ before him. That is, in Jesus the Messiah, as it was, as we have the transition. Here references to Romans chapter 16, verse 7. All of this is in the document. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Thus, to be in Christ implies those that are redeemed through the blood of Christ, and they are called in the present dispensation, all occupying a position in his body. We reference Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Now, in light and noting those who are in Christ during this dispensation of grace in the body of Christ and our new creations, we focus on the next phrase. The Greek word katesis, rendered creation, is used generally in New Testament scriptures to depict God's general work in creation. In this sense, kenokratistes, rendered new creation, it indicates that God sovereignly designed designated ones, that is, certain designated ones, in Christ, in eternity, according to the predetermination of his glorious body to be manifested and exist in time. Yes, amen. He did it in eternity.
Yeah.
He manifested in time.
Yeah.
This new creation is not in essence comprised, follow me here, it's not comprised of the outward physical divergence of reformed humanity, but it is the inward spiritual composition of the nature of Christ. Follow me here, because our view of the church is an organization, and it's not, it's an organism, because the organization many times is a very poor representation of the body of Christ. But manifestly, this is all we see. But we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And walking by faith, our focus is on what is depicted here as it explains and gives instruction to us as to what comprises this glorious entity, the body of Christ. In its vein, it denotes a more tender and close union between Christ, who is the head, and his body, which is the church. The implication is that all our support is from him. All our strength is derived from him. And it further conveys that we shall be partakers of his fullness, and we shall share in his felicity and glory. That's the scope of Paul's cogitation here, or his thought here, conveyed here. It's in the usage as we follow the grammar, look at the conjunction oste, rendered therefore. It infers that anyone is a new creation. And follow me here now, because there were some questions that came up yesterday. Amen. We're always trying to devise some human gauge of identifying those who are members of the body of Christ. So follow this very closely here. Says, oste, therefore, here, anyone is a new creation, and Paul uses the conjunction if, because it is not our job to determine, God himself.
Yeah.
He is the only one, that gives the determination of who is a member of this body. But anyone that who is a member of this body, he is a new creation. Amen. Because he is the handwork of the Creator, who is Christ the Redeemer, whose work has constituted such a change. Follow me now. Universal affirmation is that to those in Christ entail a complete change of nature. As we look at information that is depicting what it means to be in Christ. If you don't get anything else this morning, I hope everyone gets a full understanding of what it means to be in Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Again, it entails a complete change of nature, which is exhibited in more than a change of views and feelings, which are, as this is not what makes it proper to designate the body of believers a new creation. Follow me now. As of ourselves, we are not new. No, we're not new. No matter what we have been before, whether moral or immoral, whether infidels or speculative believers, whether we were deemed to be admirable by men, or whether we were viewed as debased, sensual, and polluted. These are at best only outward manifestations of the demonstrative contrast of individuals in their conduct, rather than the constituent of the transition itself. Follow me here. In other words, these changes in views and attitudes are byproducts, but they are not the essence of the new creation itself. They are not the essence of the new creation itself. What does it mean to be in Christ? What is the new creation? What is the body of Christ? Amen. There are those who make the statement sometimes, there are those speaking of the conduct of the people of God and say, well, we're giving the body of Christ, we're giving the church a bad name. Amen. That may be true from the human vantage point. It is impossible to give the church a bad name from the eternal spiritual vantage point. Amen. Follow me now. We have an expression that we have in scriptures, the new man. Follow now, if you've lost me around the second paragraph of the verse 10. The new man. Ephesians 4:24 talks about the new man. The new man. Colossians 3:10 talks about the new man. Most of us, when we read that, we are thinking in terms of reformation. And I always sing songs like, I looked at my hands and my hands were new. I looked at my feet and they were too. No, they weren't. No. He said, well, they didn't do the things that they used to do. Yes, but they're still doing some things.
Yeah.
Amen. That they shouldn't do. All right. So let's get it straight as to what this new man is. The new man is conveyed as more than just the moral change of habits and behavior from all human creatures. I think I'll repeat that. The new man is conveyed as more than just the moral change of habits and behavior from the old human creature. The primary idea is not what one ought to live as, nor is it limited to what one ought to be, but and both was what one ought to live as and what one ought to be is certainly correct and desirable.
Yeah.
But when we're speaking about the new man, it is in fact what one is continually in Christ.
Yeah.
In essence, the new man possesses the nature of Christ, which serves as a motivator to conduct oneself according to what one is in him.
Yeah.
In this sense, that we must differentiate spiritual from physical creation. So we have to differentiate what is spiritual, what is physical. What is physical is physical. What is spiritual is spiritual. They're not one and the same. In fact, Paul, as he writes in many instances, in Galatians in particular, he's speaking about that we should walk in the spiritual vein and not in the fleshly or physical vein. Amen. For those who mind the things or walk in the physical vein, they do fulfill the things of the flesh. But those who walk in the spiritual vein, this is the essence of walking in Christ. So we have to separate the spiritual from the physical, and that's the problem. And then we get the spiritual mixed up with the physical.
Yeah.
And many times things that we call spiritual are not spiritual, they're physical. Amen.
Right.
So hopefully this morning we can take this thing and straighten it out.
Yeah.
Amen. So as we view this glorious body, we can be impressed with it, and we can thank God for it. Amen. Because many times when we look at the physical and we look at the organizational aspect of what we call the church, there's not too much to be glorifying God about.
Right.
Except
Amen.
For the fact
Amen.
That this is what God has chosen to place in the spiritual vein. All right, let's move forward. When we generally think of creation, we mostly focus on its act in the natural application or capacity of the entire universe and mankind in the earthly sphere. And here we reference Mark chapter 6, chapter 10, verse 6, chapter 13, verse 19. In 2 Peter 3 and 4. Contrarywise, notice that these are all these writings here are basically in the earthly sphere as they're tied to their covenant and gospel. Most notably, as we've looked at where the writings are from, we are into the essence of the new covenant, which is the kingdom gospel. But contrariwise, it is used in our gospel. It is used in our gospel. And here we focus on verse 17. It is used in verse 17 in a moral sense. As the phrase new creation is equivalent to the expression the new man, who according to God and according has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That quote is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. This depicts a substantive change in the vein of the spiritual nature, which is produced by the righteousness of Christ. Follow me now. Thus, to change, so to speak, is indicative of one who has become totally new in nature, having no resemblance to the old. So we're not talking about new hands, a new feet. We're talking about anything physically new.
Right.
Amen. We're talking about being transformed from the physical aspect into the spiritual entity of that which God has prepared and created in eternity before he ever created the physical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Do you see where we're going here?
Glory.
You see how we got this thing all messed up?
Uh-huh.
You see how we got our wires all crossed? I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, and the longer you look at me, you see flaws and faults, and you said, ain't too much to that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Hallelujah. But that's not where it is.
No.
That's not where the action is.
No.
Amen. The body of Christ is not physical.
No.
It is spiritual. It is the entity, as we shall see in a moment, that God has created in all of His glory.
Yeah.
Follow me now. Are you whipping this morning? In this view,
thank God,
the glorified body has no influence of the fleshly body. I think I'll repeat that. In this view, that is viewing the spiritual, the glorified body has nothing to do with the flesh. In this view, the glorified body has nothing to do with what you see when you look at me and I look at you. Even though we are members of the body, the essence of the glorified body, amen, is not something that we perceive with the natural eye. Follow me now. In essence, as we look at this verse, amen, in essence, a new creation denotes an internal spiritual entity that has been extricated from the plane of humanity. I think I better say that again. A new creation denotes an eternal spiritual entity that has been extricated from the plague humanity. In this sense, one cannot view the new man in the pattern of the transformation of the flesh, but rather the resurrection of that which was dead. Woo, Lord. When you say new, you're really talking about new. You're not talking about transformed, reformed flesh. We're talking about that which is new. Woo! Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. Yeah.
New creation. What is it talking about here? Amen. And we fall short of glorifying God for what He has done. Because we become frustrated with each other. Sometimes, those of us who have been called, we don't act right. We don't treat one another right. Oh, no, we don't. Oh, no, we don't. We don't do the right thing. That's all of us. Amen. Even Apostle Paul. He said, ooh, Paul, somebody asked one time, you think Paul ever sinned? I said, was he a man? Huh? So, well, let's go see what Paul has to say about it. Paul says, the thing that I would do, that's what I'm not doing.
That's right.
That is the thing that I should do. And then the things that I shouldn't do, that's what I'm doing. And when I would do good, when I would do good, Eve is all about me. In other words, I mean the plain creature living in the plain environment. And so, don't take out a scorecard and start taking notes on me and try to make assessment of the body of Christ. We gotta go out of the physical vein and the physical realm into the essence of the spiritual realm of that which God has created.
New.
New. Not renewed flesh. Not renewed flesh, but new.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
we're not trying to downplay
no.
the things that we do, and Lord knows conduct is so very important. But oh my God, we cannot look at our lifestyles, even though we're motivated by the word, and we'll deal with that in a minute.
Yes, Lord.
We're motivated by the word to certainly walk
yes.
in the essence of conduct of those things that we've learned.
Yes.
As we've learned Christ, we will walk
yes.
in Him.
Yes.
But oh my God,
Lord.
Don't take that and use that
mm-hmm.
to assess
mm-hmm.
what new is.
Mm-hmm.
This is not what He's talking about. Amen. A new creation. Oh my God. He's speaking about that glorious entity
yes.
that He created in eternity before there was any flesh.
Oh.
All right, follow me now. Give me about 10 more minutes here. I'm going to wrap this up. So again, I'm going to repeat this. The glorified body has no emphasis or any reference to the fleshly body.
Mm-hmm.
A new creation denotes an eternal spiritual entity that has been taken, extricated from a depraved body and depraved humanity. In this sense, one cannot view the new man in the pattern of the transformation of the flesh, but rather the resurrection of that which was dead. Now, the mode and method in which it is done, it's not disclosed to human intellect. So how can God do that? Amen. That's something we have to wait till we get to eternity in the glorified body. Amen. To view that. Amen. I mean, I can't tell you how could it be that I could be a member of the glorious body of Christ?
Yes.
And you can ask yourself the same question. Because if you're honest with yourself, amen. You know yourself. I mean, we all know ourselves, don't we? Huh? If we're honest about that thing, you know. So how can I be a member of the church? Amen. Well, the Lord will basically maybe divulge that to us when we get to glory. We just thank Him for His grace.
Yes, grace.
Huh?
Grace.
We thank Him for His love.
Yes.
We thank Him for His mercy.
Yes.
We thank Him because He did it. Even though we don't deserve it, He did it.
Yes.
It's done. We are new creations. Oh my Lord, give the Lord a hand, praise.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We are new creations in Christ.
Yes.
Not based upon who we are,
yes.
but based upon what He has done.
Yes.
Oh my God. So the mode and method, the methodology which it is done, is not disclosed to us as the process conveyed. Is at best figurative
mm-hmm.
in the language of men.
Mm-hmm.
Accordingly, the new phrase in true evidence delineates the following. Number one, that there is an exertion of divine power
mm-hmm.
in the conversion of the depraved sinner
mm-hmm.
as realistic as in the act of creating the world out of nothing.
Yeah.
And this is indispensable
mm-hmm.
in the spiritual realm as contrasted to the physical. Oh, Lord. Number two, that a change is produced so great as to make it proper to say that one is indeed new. Yet the inference is more than new views, a new motives, a new principles, a new objects, a new plans of this life. For instance, if the drunkard reforms, if the licentious become virtuous, there's impropriety in saying that one is a new creation on this basis. Even though such one may not be considered the same person that they previously represented. And of course, we would expect that one who is drawn out of the world, that there would be absolute marked improvement in one's conduct. Amen. But that's not what makes them a new creation. So, well, I don't do this anymore. Well, that's great. But that's not what makes you a new creation. So I don't go where I used to go. Oh, we thank God for that. That doesn't make, that is not what makes it proper to call you a new creation. Huh? No. No. Follow this. The essence of this as we move forward. Number three. That is in the conversion of a sinner. There's a complete change in nature.
Yeah.
From the abyss of depravity to the quintessence of righteousness.
Yeah.
Here we reference Romans chapter 10 verse 7. Ephesians 3:18, and before we finish, we shall exegete those verses too. But again, amen, he takes us from the pit, from the bottomless pit, as someone has testified.
Amen.
Amen. From the depths, as it is corroborated in the Old Testament, he took us from the downhill.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah. And from the bottomless pit of the penalty to the quintessence of righteousness. Oh, my God.
Glory.
The body of Christ.
Yeah.
That means that all the righteousness of Christ.
Thank God.
All that is right.
Every.
All that is holy.
Ooh.
All that is sanctified. All that is glorified.
Glory.
My Lord, hallelujah. Is invested into this body.
Glory to God.
So you couldn't be talking about the physical, could you? On any given day, any one of us, on any given set of circumstances, could act just like the world. And don't tell me that this flesh can't rise up and do whatever. Because he does. Told a story of a certain preacher that everybody admired. And he was somewhere and he thought nobody saw him and nobody was around. And his wife did something that he didn't like and he cut loose on her. And he walked up on him and said, "Ooh, preacher, is that you? Is that you? Now this is not the glorifying of things that comes out of the flesh, but it's also to let you know that it's in you.
All right, amen.
It's in me. And I will say what you won't do.
That's it.
Oh, I will do that. Be careful.
That's it.
The quickest way to get tripped up in the flesh is to think you're immune from any of his workings.
That's it.
Because then you let your guard down.
Mm-hmm.
So I could never shoot nobody, kill nobody. Under certain the right circumstances, yes, you can. You can kill them dead. I'm talking about physically. I'm not just saying with your mouth. We do that all the time.
Tell the truth.
But the body of Christ is the express righteousness of God.
Glory. Yes.
Give me about 5 minutes. I'm going to bail out here. One good thing about it, I always get to come back the next week.
Glory to God.
This transformation is a change so deep, so entire, and so abiding that it is proper to classify such as an hereunto before unrevealed creation of God. A work of the divine power as determined and gloriously conceived in eternity before he created all things out of nothing. So whenever we speak of being in Christ, the body of the church, I want you to go immediately in your cogitation to the eternal entity of that which God created in eternity before he ever created mankind. That's the church.
Glory.
It's there. He's there. You're in it. He said, "Well, I don't feel like this." See, it's not about what you feel.
That's right.
Huh? We go on the basis that we feel, what we think, and we assess other folk about concerning things that they do, what they think.
Yeah.
It's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the chart the other night, we were going through that, and we had God all in eternity all by himself. And what is he doing?
Working.
What was his first order of creation? Salvation for who? The elect. The body of Christ. Oh my God. Not only, and we won't get to the day, but we will. Not only did he start the creation, he finished the creation. It's done. The body of Christ. Amen. And when he takes us out of time, said to be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. He takes us out of the physical sphere of creation and time into the essence of that which he has prepared and reserved for us. So to be absent from the body is to be present in the Lord.
Oh, glory.
So immediately, when he takes us out of time, we are instantaneously in the essence of the body of Christ. And this is why Paul said it would be much better.
Uh-huh.
In fact, he said it would better be, see, because what happened to Paul, the Lord caught him up.
Yes, it did.
Took him outside of Lystra and stoned him. He thought he was dead. Amen. And God caught him up. Amen. He wasn't dead. Amen. Lord just took his spirit out of the body and said, "In the body, you stay there for a second."
Yes.
Amen. And he took Paul on a journey. He said, "I was caught up above the third heaven and I saw unalterable things." Now Paul, amen, couldn't talk about it because human language couldn't depict it. But he still had it in the spirit of his heart what it was. And therefore, he said it would be far better for me to be dead than to be here.
Yep.
The body of Christ.
Dang.
3 minutes and I'm down. In a sense of his handiwork, wherein the statement in Ephesians 2:10 documents that we are his doings.
Uh-huh.
We are his workmanship. Amen.
Glory.
Here the apostle is speaking concerning the body of Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
He's talking about the glorious entity.
Glory.
We are his doings. We are, in the King James,
mm-hmm.
it says we are his workmanship. Mm-hmm. That word in the original Greek is doings. We are his doings. Mm-hmm. Amen. There's no other change manifested on earth that is so impactive, that is so radical, and is so thorough as this transformation.
Yes.
There's no other where there's so much propriety in ascribing it exclusively to the mighty and glorious power of the grace of God.
Glory.
Here, for the sake of those that may be listening to this by the audio on the website, I will give these scriptures. Those who are here, right here in the document, Romans chapter 1 verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 18 through 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11, 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, as a close for the day, the terminology of new creation depicts much more than reformation of depraved humanity. As physical transitions are insufficient to explicate or explain this phenomena. I think I'm going to say this again. New creation, it means more than reformation of depraved humanity. See, that's all we can see. And of course, it is, we are certainly basically instructed that we should walk according to that which we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because manifestation wise, mm-hmm. as we view one another, that is the only thing that we are privileged to see right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we should not gauge the body in proportion to reformation of depraved humanity. Amen. Even though this is what we are certainly to be involved in. Now, when you start preaching grace,
mm-hmm.
first thing it says that you're preaching a license to sin.
Hmm.
First thing, you don't need no license to sin.
None.
You need a license to drive. You need a license to fish.
That's right.
You need a license to get married.
Yeah.
You don't need a license to sin.
At all. Yeah.
All you do is just be your depraved self.
That's it.
And you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
No license needed. Amen. Now the walk of the child of God
mm-hmm.
is marked manifestation wise by the things that he do according to that which he has become.
Mm-hmm.
Now what you do don't make you what you are.
That's right.
But what you are should certainly influence what you do.
Glory. Thank you. Yes. Amen.
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm.
It does make a difference what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Someone brought up that. Paul had to straighten it out.
Mm-hmm.
In the latter portion of Romans chapter 5, talking about how great this grace was.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the end, they said, well, sin abound, grace didn't much more abound.
Mm-hmm.
So someone come up with their concept, hey, then let's let the sin hang out so that grace can really, really do its work. And Paul comes back and says, shall we sin no more that grace should abound? He said, God forbid. Well, that's in the King James. The Greek grammatical construction is Mianato, which is translated, may it never be.
Mm-hmm.
You can say nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That Greek grammatical construction there is there to convey the absurdity of a thing. You can even say that's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? No.
Mm-hmm.
How can we who have been, and here Paul in the 6th chapter of Romans, he's speaking about the body of Christ. He's speaking about the status of it. When he said, we are dead to sin.
Yeah.
He's talking about the spiritual part, the spiritual man.
Absolutely.
And we'll get into the physical and the spiritual man next week.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that we will understand and appreciate what this body is. But again, physical transitions are insufficient to explain the phenomena of the glorious body of Christ.
Amen.
So it's beautiful. It's great.
Yes.
It's glorious.
Gloria.
Amen.
Yes.
As long as you're not trying to see him with the physical eye.
Mm-hmm.
But it is with, amen, the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It is the spirit who conveys to our spirits
mm-hmm.
that we are sons of God.
Right.
That we are positioned. Amen. Hallelujah. For Paul says, eyes have seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men those things that God